Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
All right, everybody, take a breath. Take a breath, and I'm talking preaching mostly to myself, because we're all reacting rather quickly. I definitely have a tendency to react too quickly to things. I shoot first and ask questions second, and oftentimes I will sometimes. And welcome to the show, by the way. This is Steve Noble. It's COVID Radio, in case you hadn't heard. Yes, I have COVID right now. But I'm actually doing quite well and was feeling, you know, it started on Sunday, so 7 to 10 days, whatever. But I'm in here all by myself, just in case you're wondering. Seth, my intern, my production assistant, isn't here this week. By God's timing, thank you. So I just come in here, the side door, come right into my studio office. It's right next to the side door. I don't see anybody. I don't engage anybody. I just get my car, I drive here. I come in, I get ready, I do the show, I shut it down, I go home, I go lay down. But I'm feeling much better, and just praise the Lord for that. Anyway, here's the deal. Sometimes I get really hesitant about doubling down, tripling down on my conservative political positions when there's big things going on, because I don't want to sell my Christian witness down the river for my political positions. Okay, so I get very careful about that. So as we continue to deal with what happened in the last 48 hours here in America, I think for myself especially, I need to just slow down. Not me, not you. Nobody you'll hear from on the show today. So we've got a friend, Bill Roach, who was up there yesterday doing street preaching, but he was up there. And we're going to get his perspective. What did he see? Because you've got a narrative being played out here that pretty much paints the whole thing. This is the reverse of what happened over the summer, where they're talking about, hey, mostly peaceful protest, except for the part that went ballistic later in the day and all the looting and rioting and da da da. But mostly peaceful. But now it's just 200,000 people, whatever was there. 100,000, 500,000, I don't really care. It was a huge number of people. But now the narrative is, they're all crazy, they're all violent, and every single person that went into the building was a Trump supporter. I know, just hold on a second. I know there are agitators there. I know Antifa was there. I know there were people in the crowd that were there to cause that kind of trouble. I also know there were some regular Trump supporters that, for whatever reason, caught up in the moment, whatever, went into the Capitol and were a part of that. But the overwhelming majority of them, the people that were up there yesterday, were not like that. Typically, with these Trump rallies and stuff, the vast majority of people are just kind of normal Americans. They're very patriotic. They've got their flags. And yes, many of them are Christians, and they'll float their Jesus banner out there and all that kind of stuff. That's a whole nother subject. But nobody's in position, not you, not me, none of us are in possession of the entire truth. Okay? So whenever somebody says, there were no Trump supporters in there, I'm like, how do you know that? And they were all Trump supporters. Well, we know that's not true. But you got to be careful and slow to speak, quick to listen, slow to anger, right? And I usually violate all that stuff. So I'm working through this. I'm trying to slow down. I'm asking you for patience. And we know that the narrative is out there. I've got more to talk about that. We're going to talk to Steve Dace in the bottom of the hour after the 4:30 break. But wanted to talk to somebody, Bill Roach, and I have known each other for a few years. Not really, really well, but running some of the same circles. Bill, you were up there yesterday in D.C. As a street preacher, follower of Jesus Christ, which I appreciate you were up there. Really appreciate you calling in today. Glad you're okay. Tell us about your experience yesterday.
Well, thank you for having me on today. I really appreciate being able to share what we experienced yesterday. So yesterday, you know, we went up with Gospel of God Ministries, and Tommy oversees that ministry, and many of us partner with him and travel to different venues, and we found out about the rally, like everybody else, through social media, and we told ourselves this would be a great event to do open-air preaching. Since most of our festivals have been canceled, this is like the biggest event that we could get to. So we went up there, and And we left early in the morning, and the goal was to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. We weren't there to participate as individuals protesting. You know, we have our personal convictions in those matters, but the goal for us was something much higher. It was to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ to people who were there. And to our surprise, we actually ran into more people who were favorable of our position than unfavorable for it.
Yeah.
And let me give you a story. So we had one individual who was handing out tracts, which, by the way, those went about as fast as we could hand them out. Everybody was taking a tract at that event.
That's good.
And that we were surrounded by people. And one person was handing one out, and you know how we can sometimes typically share the gospel using Ray Comfort's approach. And one guy hands it to him, and the guy looks back at one of our team members and said, "So would you consider yourself a good person?" And the point is that as somebody who does open-air preaching and evangelism quite regularly, we've never had somebody ask us that. You know, it's usually the reverse side of it. So my point in saying that is that, you know, there were good people there, and like you said, there were probably people there who were agitators and people who are members of all these different groups and isms and schisms that we can talk about.
Yeah.
But in our experience, the vast majority of people respected what we were doing. They were peaceful. They were obviously agitated, but they weren't out there rioting and tearing things down the whole time. Yeah. In fact, you saw it, you know, when it was done, you know, you can sometimes judge the crowd in one sense by how much trash they leave behind, and the place was even relatively clean afterwards. So in our experience, we really didn't face a whole lot of opposition and mean protesters and individuals trying to do harm.
Where were you when everything kind of broke loose and there was the breach in the Capitol and all that stuff happened?
So initially we were located at the Washington Monument, in between where the monument is and where the White House is. We were on the corner right through there. And all of a sudden, we heard Trump speaking, and he was speaking later than normal. He was supposed to speak at 11. He spoke at 12. And shortly after, people started to disperse, but we stayed there because that's when the vast majority of the crowd was going on. So we weren't actually in the area when the breach of the Capitol occurred.
Yeah.
In fact, we didn't hear anything about it until we said, okay, the numbers are starting to go down a little bit now, so let's move over there. And as we're going over there, you're hearing people talk about pipe bombs.
Well, hold your thought. Can you hold on, Bill? Can I talk to you after the break? I'm going to put you on hold.
Sure.
All right, we're going to be right back with Bill Roach, who is up there. Peaceful, nice crowd, engaging in the gospel conversation. We're also going to talk to my friend Cindy. We'll be right back. So what are we waiting for? Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Just getting some reports from some voices and some friends that were on the ground up there. Bill Roach was telling us he was up there with some other gospel preachers, and they were sharing the gospel. Incredibly receptive crowd, friendly crowd, no big deal. And 99.9% of that whole group, I'm sure, decent, nice people. That's normal. They might be... We're all sinners, so you're going to have obnoxious people. But overall, it was a peaceful crowd. And of course, things went south. So you were telling us, Bill, when the crowd started moving towards the Capitol, kind of pick it up there.
So we're moving over there, and the people went to the Capitol building. We stayed around and handed out gospel tracts and preached the gospel. And so we felt like the numbers drove us to move to the new location. So as we got down there, we were hearing just different stories and conversations taking place about what was happening on the Capitol building, but we noticed one interesting thing, is that the crowd seemed to change just a little bit. At the White House area, they were very favorable to us. As we got to the Capitol building, we had individuals starting to question us. We saw people more antagonistic to the things that we were saying, and we knew immediately, we're in a mixed group of people now.
Different
things
crowd.
Were different.
Yeah.
Exactly, a different crowd. But we continued to proclaim the gospel there, and it was interesting. Even though we were in a mixed group of people, no one there seemed chaotic at that time. I mean, there was literally a hot dog food stand right in front of us, and families were buying hot dogs and sitting around with their kids and so forth. So, you know, we're listening to this, and then we head out shortly later, and we're looking on social media as we're riding on the train, and we're going, this is was nothing like what was portrayed when we were there.
Yeah.
You know, they were giving camera angles on TV as though this the whole National Mall and all these buildings were erupting with all of it. We found it to be the exact opposite. And so we get home, and we were just alarmed by the things that we saw in the media and the news. So that's why I kind of wanted to say, hey, let's have some balance here. Let's listen to the full story of this and wait for the whole picture to come out before we give our sort of verdicts on how Trump is or how this figure is or what we should do going forward.
That's right. Yeah, and that's the challenge right now. We're in an environment where we tend to shoot first and ask questions later. And with social media, we're all being emotional and bleeding our emotions all over the place. And I'm just as guilty as the next person. But that's why we have to be slow to speak and slow to anger and quick to listen and collect information. And if we're people of the book and people of truth, that oftentimes in this messed up fallen world does not materialize right away. So we need to be patient and we need to be that peculiar people as followers of Christ that have that spirit of peace that doesn't make any sense even in the midst of all this chaos. But that's it's helpful to know that. I really appreciate that, Bill, from your report. Thanks for being up there as always. You're such a good minister of the gospel and such a good faithful servant. We appreciate you, brother.
Well, thank you. We really appreciate it and being able to testify what God did through Gospel of God Ministries over this last week.
Amen, Bill. God bless you. Thanks so much. Gospel of God Ministries. There you go. Another friend of mine that was up there. Cindy was up there right in the middle of it, as she often is. Very patriotic, God-fearing woman. Cindy, how are you? Thanks for calling.
Good. I'll try to be quick. I'll make my biggest impact observations first. So we were there on the grass when Trump made his speech, and we were there for hours in the freezing cold, and we were wet, and it was a very patriotic group. And Rudy Giuliani had made his announcement, hey, everything we're going to do today is perfectly legal. And that made me think, you know, wow, they're going to do something. They probably have this agreement with Cruz. They're going to work it out. They're going to kick it back to the states, as they should, let the states decide, listen to the evidence. And I knew they wanted to get the testimony into the record, that that was part of the accomplishment of the, you know, 2 hours of dissent or disagreement,
right,
whatever, was to get it in the official record, which has not been able to get into an official record, so that in the future generations, when they look back on this, they'll have an official documented record of what was really done during the election. And so I thought, you know, there's some goodness to that, and I was proud of the fact that more senators had signed in. Well, I was sitting around serious conspiracy believers, and we can talk about that another time, but people that truly follow all of this QAnon stuff, which is so far out there, and these people are real believers. A lot of them are Christians.
Yeah.
And so I don't believe any of that, and they were saying things like Mike Pence was going to be shot in a tribunal and he was going to be shot for treason. Crazy stuff from people that are smart people that you would respect, people that you know.
Yeah,
I don't buy it. So we're marching up the street, and as we're marching up the street, people are with a bullhorn saying, Mike Pence has betrayed the president. Mike Pence has betrayed the president. Treason. And I'm thinking, it's not even 15 after 1. How has he betrayed him? The objection would start at 1. They have 2 hours.
Right.
3 o'clock would be the earliest we would know. Why are people saying this? And as we're marching up there, people are whipping up the crowd. Well, you've been to enough preaching services where they whip up the crowd.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Once the crowd is whipped up, holy camoly. So we're marching up the street, and then someone says that, you know, I was with a person saying they've breached the Capitol, patriots have breached the Capitol. And I thought, why are we excited about that? Breaching the Capitol, what does that mean? So as I got closer and we got closer, it was a massive crowd. I've been to a lot of Trump rallies. I've been to a lot of marches. I've been to the March for Life, which is a massive crowd. This crowd was massive.
Yeah, crazy.
And so one of my friend that I was with, she's like, hey, let's go up there. Let's see what's happening. And we saw men walking around, and they looked like, for sure, had bulletproof vests under their camouflage jackets. And I thought, wow, that's interesting. I've never seen that before. And so my friend was very excited. Let's get up there. Let's get up there. And I'm thinking, okay, I'm always up. So I'm behind them, drafting off of them, literally holding onto the back of one of the men in a bulletproof vest. He's in a line of men dressed like this. So we get closer to the front. I'm all the way up to the steps. People are climbing on the scaffolding. People are climbing up the wall. My friend is no longer with me, and we get tear gas. Tear gas shoots at us, and this guy said, put on your mask, put on your mask. They had two-way radios. They had masks. They said, cover your face, cover your face. They had goggles. They had things to pull over their head, and I'm sitting there thinking, what? We're getting shot with tear gas. I've never been shot with tear gas. I have no water.
Could people you tell where that came from? Like, where did that come from?
Yeah, the Capitol Police were shooting it at us.
Okay,
the people were shooting it at us. And so people were being hit in the head. There was blood running down the faces. People were collapsing. And all of a sudden, the guys in front of me, like, we literally were starting to go up the steps, and they said, "We're a man down. We're a man down. We've got to stop." And I'm thinking, a man down? That kind of sounds organized. I mean, you know, an organic crowd movement is not counting the men in or out, man up or down. And so I said, "Well, wait a minute. What are you going to do?" And they said, "We're going to turn around and go to a different side because we're a man down." And I thought, I wonder what I should do. And they said, if you want, go with another group going up. So I joined another group. This was a different group, more like a group of you and me going up, people that weren't in bulletproof vests, people that were by this time just mad. And so as we start going up, they start bringing this big flag over us. And again, they're shooting these tear gases into us, and people are screaming, throw them back. And I'm thinking, I'm not throwing back a tear gas. I don't know what I'm doing. So as I start to go up the stairs where it's just massively crowded, I thought, what are we going to do once we get in there? What is the purpose of all of this? Because by this time, people are all the way at the top. They're all dressed in black. They're all waving flags. People all along the stairs are also all dressed in black. And I'm thinking, this isn't a typical outfit for a Trump supporter, you know? We're usually in red, white, and blue or camouflage.
Right.
And so I decided, you know what, if I get up here, I have no strategy. What am I going to do, get arrested in the Capitol building? What are we doing? So I started to come down the stairs because I thought, I can't be part of this. The crowd was massive, and there was a percentage of people shoving in and another group coming out and coming down. But when I got far enough away, I stood and I just watched. And it was patriots. It was disillusioned patriots that have taken it for four whole years. You know, we've just taken it for four whole years, and we've been expected to just keep taking it. And when they unfurled that big flag on the side of the building, I was so proud. And I really felt like that, you know, Les Miserables moment where I thought, yes, this is our house. They do not have the right to sit in there fully protected like Tom Tillis doing nothing for us.
Cindy, I'm going to put you on hold. I'm up against the break. Hold it right there. We'll be right back, everybody. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. We're going to finish up with my friend Cindy, who was there right in the mass as people were moving towards the Capitol and moving in, and the tear gas and everything else going on, and people that definitely didn't fit the regular crowd, the regular MO. Bill Roach was saying that earlier. He was up there yesterday as well. We're going to finish up with Cindy, then we're going to jump right over to our buddy Steve Dace from The Blaze. But Cindy, finish up what you experienced there yesterday.
So as I was walking back and standing back and I saw the flag unfurl and I felt really proud, I started looking around at the people that were not rushing the Capitol. And those were the Trump supporters. Those were the people that were wondering what is going on here. Those were the people that have been peacefully protesting for 4 years. Those are the people who were not violent. And then I realized, something was different about this crowd. And by the time I got in my car and I was driving home, I heard Sean Hannity on the radio, and the way they were portraying it was like a bizarre world. I had not lived in that world. I had not been in what they were saying. And it was so false and phony to me. And all of a sudden, I started hearing it was Antifa, and they were blaming it on all the Trump supporters, and they thought it was Antifa. And I thought, you know what? We walked right into a trap. This was a trap set by Antifa, and they lit the match, and innocent people like me got swept right up in it because we're so frustrated and angry. But they knew we would because we're so predictable, and they've used this thing to burn down Trump and blame Trump, and the people that folded like cheap tents in there are a disgrace to our country because what happened, they should have known, had nothing to do with elections that were stolen. And they stopped the point, which was to get the debate into the record. So I wouldn't doubt, I'm not a conspiracy person, but I wouldn't doubt for 5 minutes if Mitch McConnell wasn't behind it, because it accomplishes their purpose.
Sure.
It ends the Trump legacy. It closes the discussion of the election, because look how we've now gotten off the point of election fraud, and we're on the point of Trump's a loser, Trump's crazy, Trump should be removed. If he said he'd do a peaceful transfer of power, which he said he would do, why is Nancy Pelosi now calling for the 25th Amendment to remove him?
Yeah.
That just shows it's all part of a plan. And as Christians, we need to keep our eye on the ball, because the Lord has allowed this, but the devil overplays his hand. He's the divider.
That's right.
He's trying to divide us.
Amen.
This is all part of his scheme to take down our country.
Exactly right. Cindy, thanks so much for calling. God bless you. I'm glad you're safe. Let's go over to our friend Steve Dace, who texted me really early this morning. It was early for me. Is it even earlier for you, Steve? This is Steve's texting me, if you don't mind me sharing this, Steve. I'm awakened this morning with a message I think our people need to hear. Last time I felt anything like this was when I was convicted to go all in challenging the coronavirus models and data, which, Steve, you did an awesome job all year on that. Thank you. There needs to be some leadership and guidance from somewhere. So, definitely the Lord putting something on you, and I wanted you to call in and appreciate being able to talk to you so that you could share it with us yourself. Pretty remarkable days we're in.
Yeah, remarkable is a word, I guess. We could go with that if you want. I think, you know, I was listening to the woman you had on before me. I can hear her frustration. Yeah. I'm taking a list when it goes down, all the people that I thought I was friends with not to call, because they clearly won't have either the discernment nor, frankly, the testicular fortitude for the moment. And I think we're getting caught here, and she used the word trap. That's a good word. We're getting trapped here between a false choice. And the false choice is David Frenchian passivity, to the point that visual child abuse called Drag Queen Storytime Hour gets labeled as the price of freedom. Or Eric Erickson level of sanctimony, where I just spend my day on social media looking for people wearing my uniform that I can virtue signal to the people that hate me how much better I am than I'm not like those people.
Right.
Or Beth Moore absurdity, where I spend years and years calling the church racist on Twitter, never provide any like specific examples of whatever the Sam Hill it is I'm talking about. And then so there's that. And then there is, let's join them in becoming an unruly mob, mm-hmm. And lose control. And I think there's a word we're missing here that needs to be reintroduced to our thinking, Steve, and it's the word I talked to my audience about today, and that is meekness. Mm. And, you know, my old pastor who's going to retire this year taught me what this word means. A giant of a man, 6'3", 6'4", broad-shouldered, was a military MP. So it was his job to police the other tough guys. No passive, aggressive, shrinking violet was Pastor Bob. But if there's one thing I never saw him do was lose control. I saw him get angry.
Yeah.
I saw him get passionate. But he taught me what meekness meant was power under control.
That's right.
And I think that if we don't exercise that, and what does that mean? What it means for the people in your audience, get out of your homes, open your businesses, open your churches. Refuse to comply. You're not going to lose your mind. You're not going to rant and rave. You're going to do what a 29-year-old Baptist seamstress once did on the back of a Birmingham bus. I'm not sitting here anymore. My answer is no.
Right.
And I'm not venting. I'm not losing my mind. I'm not putting out a viral video of me going ape. My answer is just no. Here I stand. I can do no more. May God have mercy on my soul. My answer is no. And I think that if we don't provide a vehicle of righteous resistance for the frustration that is rightfully growing in the country. And clearly the Republican Party is not going to be it. It has either no interest in it or hates people like us just for different reasons than the Democrats do. Then we're going to have to do this ourselves. The answer is us. We're going to have to take the spirit within us, the courage of conviction we have, and go actually do the thing. Go do it. Go and run for office. Go and open our offices. We're going to have to actually do this stuff, and I'm tired of seeing videos of one woman against a badgering guy who, frankly, the guy doing that, it's been too many years since he's picked his teeth up off the floor, if you know what I'm saying, be badgering a woman like that.
Yep.
The one woman, no more one woman, no more one hair salon, open all of, 20 of you open your businesses. 30 of you walk into a store without a mask. These things are unenforceable, but we are complying with them as if they are edicts, tyrannical edicts, and that's
exactly
what's making them tyrannical. You have as much tyranny as you are willing to tolerate.
Well, there's an old concept in this country called federalism, where the states are rather independent and expansive in their powers, and the federal government is small. And you can look at the federal government in the eye and say, thanks, but no thanks. I mean, we've had a couple of presidents in the past going way back when the Supreme Court came down with a decision. They said, okay, hey, thanks for your opinion. And then that was it. Just ignore them. I think that's what we have to do. I think we can hearken back a little bit, Steve, do you think, to the example? We could talk about MLK's personal character at another time, but do you think that's kind of the direction we need to go in? Just kind of
well, you're talking about letter from a Birmingham jail where he cites Aquinas, Augustine, Blackstone. I mean, those are inherent to how the rule of law was formed in our country. Those individuals are the pillar that inspired the founders on the rule of law. The idea that in our community, our county, we own the Board of Supervisors. We're not killing babies here. We don't care what the state says. We don't care what the feds say.
That's right.
We're not doing it. So good luck to you. Have a nice life. Appreciate your opinion. That's all that it is. Our schools are going to be open. We're not penalizing businesses or letting them put useless Chinese face diapers forever as totems for your pagan religion on people's faces. We're not doing these things any longer. On the state level, same exact thing. And I think we have to be willing to do this. When you walk in, the 20 of you walk into Walmart without a mask and the people start losing their minds, you just ignore them and do your thing. Go shopping. Finish the job. We have to exercise power under control. We don't do that, if we don't have righteous resistance, Steve, unrighteous resistance is going to fill that void, and that becomes a zero-sum game, and the enemy loves either one of those options because that just leads to chaos and anarchy.
And it was interesting with MLK's approach to appeal to the consciences of the nation. I can disagree with 50 or 60 or 70% of the nation, but the one thing that I know about 100% of this nation is that they're all made in the image of God, and he's placed the law on their hearts. Eternity is in their hearts. They know God exists. I don't believe in atheists because of Romans chapter 1. And so I know at some point there's something in there that a righteous resistance, a meekness will appeal to because it's going to touch some image of God that's in them. And that was really effective from MLK's perspective. You look back to Peter and John. Hey, you guys got to quit preaching in Jesus' name.
Yeah, we're back here the next morning.
Yeah. Sorry. We're not going to do that. Essentially, you do what you got to do. We do what we have to do. Hey, we're pulling everybody out of this city. The Roman centurion say because of the plague and blah, 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 blah. And the Christians say, no, actually, we're going to stay and we're going to do our thing. And we become a peculiar people who are so powerful in our meekness. That makes no sense to the flesh, but it's a beautiful example of exactly what Jesus was. He could have called down 12 legions of angels, Steve. You know that. 50,000, yep. 60,000 angels. See you later. And he didn't.
Well, you know, over the sign that the Roman government put over Christ when he was crucified, what did it say, Steve? So he was the King of the Jews.
King of the Jews, right.
Right. What did that mean? Now, we know that Christ was crucified for our sins, but in the Roman pagan mind, he was being crucified for sedition. That's how they convinced Pontius Pilate and the government to go through with the deed, that he was no friend of Caesar. This man claims to be a king. We only have one king but Caesar. Now, Christ was not a zealot. Christ did not practice or preach sedition or revolution. And quite the contrary, he frustrated some of those people by preaching a kingdom, another kingdom, than what they were thinking was going to be restored.
That's right.
And yet the system still found him to be a threat because he emulated, modeled what it means to be in the world and not of it. We need to follow that level of meekness.
Exactly right. What a great point. Steve Dace, God bless you, brother. Thank you so much for that. We're going to continue to pump that up on my side. Bless you, buddy. We'll talk to you later.
Take care.
Welcome back to Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. I certainly appreciate Steve Dace, and God's really got him in a great place with on Glenn Beck's network on The Blaze. He's on 12 to 2 p.m. Eastern Time, by the way. He's on right after Glenn Beck's show. So it's D-E-A-C-E, Steve Dace. Brilliant political commentator and analyst. Just a brilliant guy, obviously. And loves the Lord and is full of the Holy Spirit. And one of the best things I can do to make this show look good is have really good guests on and people like Steve Dace. So I just praise the Lord for that. Steve and I have known each other for a while, but we've been doing a lot more radio this year. And, you know, he's one of the real serious evangelicals that I know of that has a significant place on The Blaze with Glenn Beck, who's a Mormon, and Steve isn't, Glenn is. And so I just thank God for that. And I'd like to bring people in. By the way, Representative Mike Johnson, my friend in Congress, from Louisiana, he called in to Fox News yesterday. They were talking to him on the phone when they cleared out the two chambers and everything. I was talking to, texting him yesterday and talking to his press guy today. We're going to get Mike on the show next week. So he was there. He was one of the organizers arguing for the objections. And then, of course, everything changed, right? And so I'll just a reminder of what Steve Dace was talking about. And he texted me this morning, 6:30 his time. And that's where he's like, hey, man, I woke up and I've got this message and I think we need to start sharing it. And I'm like, well, what is it? And I said, okay, cool. I'll pray for you, because he said he was going to talk about it on the show at noon. And he's a super busy guy, so I wasn't going to ask him at the time. But then I asked him, you know, how to go and everything. I was teaching. I couldn't tune in. And he said, hard to judge your own material. I'll let others do that. And then I said, okay, well, you can tell me, but I'd rather have you do it on the show. And then we worked out the time, so he called in. A couple of things from what Steve just said. Write this down, okay? Commit it. Write this down. Meekness. Okay, that's what he's talking about. Meekness. What is meek? Jesus, meek and mild. We have this Western viewpoint of Jesus with this pseudo blonde hair, the blue eyes, the pale skin, which is so ridiculous because he was pretty much a Middle Eastern Jew. Okay. And so he looked a lot more like Osama bin Laden than he looks like Steve Noble. Okay. So anyway, just he's a Jew, Middle Eastern Jew, right? So we get this kind of soft focus, blonde hair, slightly curled blue eyes, and like he's like the, just like a wimp, right? No. And he is the Son of God, fully manifested God in the flesh, okay? He worked with his hands. He was a hard worker his whole life. If you saw the movie Platoon, I've always pictured Jesus as looking a little bit like Willem Dafoe, you know, no fat on that body. And he's been working with wood and stone his whole life. So if anything, the guy was ripped. He wasn't a little wimpy dude, all right? Then you have this whole notion of meekness, which is power under control. I was wondering if he was going to say the same thing because that's what the definition of meek is, power under control, okay? So Jesus Christ, that was the thing that was amazing about him. They're like, hey, listen, this guy's from Nazareth. He's never even been through the official training yet. When you listen to what he says and his command of the scriptures and his ability to make an argument, and he just speaks like somebody with authority. Whoa, we don't like that word, authority. Well, if you're full of the Holy Spirit because you're a born-again Christian, you have it. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You have authority. Okay, now I'm not talking about word of faith and all that stuff. I'm saying you have authority because you're an ambassador of Jesus Christ. Okay, so here you are, meek, power under control. There at the end, could have called down 12 legions of angels. That's about 60,000 angels. Two angels wiped out Sodom and Gomorrah. One angel killed 120,000 Assyrians, I think it was, overnight. Overnight. And probably never got up off of his hiney. And so Jesus said, yeah, I could call down 60,000 angels. What do you think that would look like? Bye-bye, earth. See you later. It's all gone. But he didn't. He has power under control. He was meek. And then he talked about righteous resistance. Righteous resistance. Okay? Peter and John, they drag him in front of the Sanhedrin. You guys, you can't, this whole Jesus thing, you can't preach in his name anymore. Knock that stuff off. And Peter and John, Peter basically says, sorry, we can't help speak about that which we have seen and heard. You do what you got to do. We're going to do what I got to do. I'm going to do what I got to do. So that's what Steve is saying. You know, mass resistance. You just say, okay, hey, you guys don't want me to do this? You don't want me to open my business? Okay, all right, thanks. I appreciate your concern. I'm opening. And a bunch of other people open. Now, I'm not saying being rude to people. You can't force people to come into your business, but you can open. And I tell you what, if you get enough people going along, a law is only a law if it gets enforced, by the way. I'm just telling you the truth here. It might say 70 miles an hour, but the police never pull anybody over. Is that really the law? Because they never enforce it. We just have way too many people in this country that were, and I struggle with it sometimes too, just willing to lay down. And now we've got all kinds of destruction. I found an article the other day, I don't think I have it with me, talking about how many excess deaths we're going to have as a result of, let me see if I find it, as a result of the lockdowns and what we're doing to ourselves by just laying down and doing what the government tells us to do. I'll have to find it. I've got it somewhere. It's really alarming. It's like 900,000, which is obviously a significantly higher number than the people who've left. COVID's economic fallout could elevate U.S. mortality rate for years, study shows. Some 900,000 Americans could die as a result in the next 15 years. So tack that on there. And they're not dying from COVID. They're dying because, like Trump said, we got to make sure that our response isn't worse than the virus itself, which you're listening to a guy with COVID right now, by the way. And I'm here by myself. I walked in by myself. I walk in through a side door. I don't have anybody in here in my little two-room studio. It's all safe, and I go home and I be with my family. So righteous resistance. You think the Republican Party is going to stand for righteousness in this country? They're not. You know the Democrats aren't, right? You know that. just on their own party platform. And what about leaders? Nope. And listen, by the way, what's your number one kingdom? Is it the United States of America? It's the kingdom of God. And loving your neighbor and taking care of your family. And living out what it means to be free people. Which is a gift from God, by the way. The government doesn't give us our rights. They're supposed to protect our rights that are God-given. That's why they're called unalienable. You get them. You don't alienate them. They're not separated from you. They're part of who you are because you're made in the image of God. But Steve, you know, rightfully so. We can't trust any of these people to do anything for us. And by the way, look back at the first church. They had no political power, yet they changed the world. Did they not? How did they do that, by the way? In 300 years, Rome goes from putting them out like tiki torches, Nero hanging Christians up on pike poles, covering them with tar, and setting them on fire to light his gardens at night, using Christians as tiki torches, and 330, 350 years later, Christianity becomes the official religion of Rome, which wasn't necessarily a great thing. But you get the point. How did they do that? They took up arms, Steve. No, they didn't. They lived a spirit-infused, powerful life that's different from anything else the world has to offer. And they were meek, and they had righteous resistance. You guys going to worship all that? We're not. We don't worship Caesar. We'll pay taxes, but we're not worshiping Caesar. We worship the one true Lord. And that's that, right? And then in 350 years, the whole thing flips upside down. We've been flipping the world upside down ever since. And mostly, almost exclusively, without violence. Because you don't really need it. Is there a time? Sure. Just war. Hey, Steve, what about Jesus cleaning out the temple? Okay, well, first of all, you ain't Jesus. And number two, the United States of America and our government is not the temple. That was the temple of God established by God to David and then Solomon. Okay, that's a little bit different than this nation or any other nation. So you be careful with that. Hey, Jesus cleared out the temple. So it's okay for me to go do this, that, and the other thing, burn something down. No, it isn't. If you're a Christian, we operate differently. Now, let me back up to something I said at the beginning of the show, because I want to make sure everybody understands, because I've been flying off the handle for the last 24 hours, and I know most of us have, okay? But for me as a public person, I don't have a convenient excuse, so please forgive me if I've unnecessarily offended you or made you think that I wasn't listening or didn't care. The overwhelming majority of that 200,000, 300,000, whatever the number is, I'm not going to argue with you that the size of the crowd yesterday was massive. The overwhelming majority, 99.9% of them? Normal, decent people. There were people there, because I've heard from some people and seen some videos. There were some Trump supporters there trying to stop some of the madness. And there were definitely agitators. It was a mixed bag. If there were 1,000 people that got inside the building, how do you know that there was not a real Trump supporter amongst all of them? And by the way, the lady that died, who was shot unjustifiably, in my opinion, she was a Trump supporter. She's not Antifa. She served our military in the Air Force for 14 years. She was a Trump supporter. She was in the building. So right there, you can't say there were no Trump supporters that did that. Yeah, there were. But I think the whole thing, like Cindy was saying earlier, I think it was most likely a big setup. And unfortunately, some people fell for it. And you add human depravity in there and herd mentality and things just get going. And the next thing you know, you're like, oh my gosh, how did that happen? Human nature, that's how. But I go back to what I heard Rush Limbaugh say earlier today, which is a great question. It's who benefits from everything that happened today? Who benefits? Who benefits? Wow. There you go. And ultimately, the kingdom of darkness. Maybe, but you know, God works all things together for good. For those who know him, and who are the called according to his purpose. And that's me. I hope it's you. Because God's going to work all this for our good and his glory and the building of the kingdom. So remember our friend Steve Dace, righteous resistance and meekness. Don't give up. If you're in Jesus Christ, remember, man, you're already a winner. You're already on the kingdom side. This is Steve Noble at the Steve Noble Show. God willing, I'll talk to you again real soon. And like my dad always used to say, ever forward.